Amen.
And so I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. We're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to also read it out of the Amplified. And so we want to look at verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." Has capital S there. So what does it mean? It's the Holy Spirit, right? Is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then in the Amplified it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom," is what the Amplified says here. But you know, on our return home from Oregon, you know, the word liberty was rolling around in my mind. And so as I get into my thoughts, you know, I want to bring our attention to salvation brings true liberty or freedom from sin. You know, young people, we have many who have turned their back on God, went out into the world, gone out into sin, thinking that they're free from rules, they're free from bondage. But in reality, they're the ones that are in bondage tonight. They're the ones that are in bondage tonight. Why? Because they're under the control of the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world has its, what do you want to say, has its ways of tying people up and putting them in bondage tonight. You know, I think about the habits of life. You know, people, if they're not, you know, if they're not where they need to be for the Lord, they pick up habits. You know, I know somebody that, you know, over the past few years, they picked up some habits of life, and it's got them in bondage. It's got them in bondage tonight. But again, salvation brings true liberty.
Yes.
Salvation brings true liberty. And so I want to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And it says here, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised," or in other words, those he's going to bring liberty to that has been oppressed. In other words, burdened down. People that have been burdened down. What? Burdened down by sin. He's going to set them at liberty tonight. And young people, I want, you know, those that are living for the Lord, I want you to understand tonight, you know, what we really have. You know, and how blessed we are that if we're saved and living for the Lord, we have liberty tonight.
Right.
We have liberty tonight. And so don't let us lose our appreciation and thankfulness for the freedom that we have in Christ tonight. You know, sometimes as we get caught up in everyday life, sometimes we lose that appreciation that we should have. That we should have for not only the things of God, but for, you know, our homes, our jobs, those sorts of things. Why? Because sometimes those things have a way of really kind of dragging us down sometimes. I think about as I'm working around the house, sometimes I'm going like, is this ever, the project ever going to end? Or maybe on the job, maybe things just aren't going quite the way they're supposed to be going. You think, oh, why am I stuck here? Well, you know, I'm thankful that I have my job. I'm thankful that I have the home that I have. I'm thankful for all those things. But more importantly, young people, if we have liberty in Christ tonight and we're saved, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. And so, you know, when we lose our appreciation, we will let our freedom, our liberty, slip little by little. And then all of a sudden, we have lost that liberty completely. And so tonight, the Church of God is made up of individuals liberated from sin. I want you to think about that tonight. If you are liberated from sin tonight, you're a part of the Church of God. But when we let when we slip spiritually as individuals, I want you to think about this. When we slip as individuals, we slip spiritually as a home, and then we slip as a nation. And so, young people, it really behooves each and every one of us to be as close as we can to the Lord. Be as close as we can to the Lord. And so, I don't know how much truth our founding fathers had, but they founded this country on biblical truths. They founded this country on biblical truths. And so I'm going to read a couple things. And this is a quote. I took it, and I'll see if you know what I'm reading from here. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator," with a capital C, referring to God, "with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Where does that come from? Come on now. The Declaration of Independence. Right? If not, we need to go back to government class. All right, the Declaration of Independence. And you know, I find it very interesting. You know, just like the Bible, words are put in the order. I want you to think about that. They're put in the order, a particular order. They list off life first. All right, then liberty, and then the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness comes last. All right, pursuit of happiness comes last. But also, here's another thing. See if you know where this came from. Probably my last line here will probably give it away. But we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity or future generations, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. It is the Constitution. It's actually the preamble to the Constitution, right? And so, you know, as I was thinking about this, and this is why that word liberty has been kind of running around in my head, young people. And again, this is how I understand. This is to my knowledge and understanding is what I'm going to tell you here. But Brother Stegmaier has reached out to saints that have come from Romania and Hungary. He's reached out to them. And there was one brother, Brother John. And then also there was Brother Eli, and there were some other saints that have come, you know, but anyway, Brother John, he got up and actually spoke Sunday morning about, you know, his life leading coming to the United States. But, you know, he came from Romania in 1981. And, you know, the whole camp meeting, he was rejoicing. He was just rejoicing in the love that he felt from the saints of God. Sometimes it was a little hard to understand him. But there was no doubt in my mind that he loved God and he loved the saints of God. He would tell, you know, just how he loved the people and, you know, how he appreciated everyone. And so, again, you could tell he loved the saints of God and says, how, you know, you ask, how do you know? Well, the witness of the Holy Spirit, right? The witness of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, and that we are the children of God." And so when we couldn't maybe understand him all the time and some of the words that he used, and again, you know, what do you want to say? He being here since 1981, he still, you know, still had, what do you want to say, that European accent. And so he still had his accent. But Romania, you know, I thought about this. Romania was under communist rule and the government was the religion. It was the religion. I want you to think about that. So whatever the government told you to do, that was the religion, all right? They couldn't worship freely. They could not worship freely. And remember what I mentioned a few weeks ago about Karl Marx. He turned his back on whatever light that he had. Remember, he grew up in a Jewish family. He grew up in a Jewish family, had a Jewish upbringing. So he had a little bit of light. He knew about God. But he turned his back on that light. And, of course, he, you might say, has been labeled the father of communism. Okay? And so, young people, this ought to be a warning to each and every one of us. And again, we all walk in the light of God as individuals. And whatever light that God shows on our pathway, we need to walk in it. We need to walk in it. And if we don't walk in that light, we're in darkness. We're in darkness. And so whatever light that Karl Marx had, he did not walk in it. He turned his back on that light. And then what happened? Great darkness. Great darkness was brought about because he turned his back on whatever light that he knew. Again, communism is the religion. And people are not free to worship the way the Bible tells us that we should be worshiping. And so Brother John went on, and he was telling us that when they prayed, and when they prayed as a people, they had to put pillows in the windows. He had put pillows in the windows so the people could not hear them praying. I want you to think about that. Think about the freedom that we have, young people. Think about the freedom that we have. We can assemble together. We can pray. We have that right. We have that right. We have that God-given right to do that. There are people across this world that do not have the ability and do not have the right, you might say, to do that. And so they put pillows in the windows so they cannot be heard outside. You know, and it's my understanding that either he was a pastor or he was very, very instrumental in that congregation over there, that the government wanted him to sign a paper saying that he would not preach the Bible, preach what God wanted him to. And they wanted him to preach what the government told him to preach. He refused to do that. He refused to do that. So, in his refusal to do that, they gave him two choices. One choice was, we're going to kill you. Or the second choice is go kill yourself. Now, how would you like to be faced with those two choices? I want you to think about that. Because of his stand for the gospel, either the government was going to kill him or the government says, you kill yourself. So it's my understanding he went home and basically quit eating. And the government kept tabs on him. The government kept tabs on him. And so over a period of time, how long can you go without eating and without nourishment and those sorts of things? And so he became physically in bad shape. But also, I mean, as he was kind of reaching near death, you know, in all this process, he was reaching out to the Red Cross, and the Red Cross got him in touch with the U.S. Embassy. And so they did rescue him before he died. But it took him a while to recover, it's my understanding. It took him a while to recover from this. And he was brought to the United States. But after his escape, the government was very angry. So they took it out on his sister's family and actually killed his brother-in-law and left 8 children and a wife behind. I want you to think about that. All for preaching the gospel. And think about, you know, the threat that he was under. Remember, we're talking about liberty tonight. We're talking about freedom. Not only freedom from sin, but freedom that we have to worship God like God has given us the right to do. So, again, he lives in Sacramento, California. It's my understanding. looks after a congregation down there and those who are of Romanian and Hungarian descent. But again, I go back to he spent the whole week rejoicing in the truth. I don't know how much light that he has, but he talked about it. He held up his Bible and he talked about the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible, God's Word. And he was just telling us how much he appreciated God's Holy Word. How much do we appreciate what God has given us? And again, that we can freely use and we can freely read. How many of us, again, from what I understand, I don't think that they were even allowed to have a Bible over there. But how many of us do we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? And so, young people, let's appreciate the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ tonight, but also the liberty that we have as a people of this wonderful, wonderful country. And you know, the whole week he was rejoicing in the truth. Well, who's the truth? Who's the truth? And I'm talking about is with a capital D. Did I hear something? God, that is right. Jesus is the truth. John 14, and let's look at verses 5 and 6. John 14, verses 5 and 6. And again, this is Thomas asking him a question. Thomas asking him a question. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He's asking a question of Jesus here. Verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I think about this, young people. You know, as we live in this world today, people are trying to get to Jesus any other way but going the way that he has laid out for us, and that is going through Jesus Christ. He's the door, right? Amen. He's the door. And we have to go through Jesus Christ in order to have salvation tonight. But, you know, our country is walking further and further away from light and truth. And when I say truth tonight, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. We're walking further and further away from Jesus Christ tonight. But young people, it's our job. It's our job because we have this precious truth. We have this precious truth. It's our job to stand for Jesus in the schools, the colleges, in the workplace, or wherever we go. It's our job. You know, I think about we have been given, what do you want to say, the liberties that we have. But how? And I'm talking about myself too. How many of us are taking advantage of it? Because some of these countries, like over in Romania, you can't go out in public and, what do you want to say, take your Bible or witness to somebody or, you know, preach the truth. Why? Because it's illegal. It's illegal to do so. But here, it's legal for us to do. We can freely do it. But how many of us are taking advantage of it? And I heard something the other day. And they were talking about having their own truth. Their own truth. And if I were to have my truth, and you were to have your truth, how long do you think that we'll be able to go and not start stepping on each other's toes and offending one another? Right. I want you to think about that. If you have your truth, I have my truth, some point in time, our truths are going to clash, right? Is that what God wants for us? Absolutely not. So if we walk in the truth, we're talking about Jesus Christ, and when we walk in the truth, we're working toward a common goal, right? We're working toward a common goal. And what is that common goal? Is working to see souls saved and making heaven our home, right? Again, what happens when we have our own truth? we turn our back on the truth, right? We turn our back on Jesus Christ. We can't have both. We can't have both. And so when we turn our back on the truth, then we go into darkness, we go into bondage. And so walking in the truth, young people, walking in Jesus Christ keeps us walking in liberty tonight, or walking in freedom. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you tonight. Might have been just a few simple thoughts. But I want to encourage you tonight. We have such a precious opportunity. We have liberty to be able to preach the truth. Be able to go out and witness to others. Be able to, you know, worship God freely tonight. Help us to be appreciative of what God has given us. You know, this is one of those things that separates us from any and every country in the world, is we have those liberties that not all of those countries have. You know, there are some countries that have some liberties, but they don't have the liberties that we do. And so, you know, that is one thing that separates us from any other country in the world. And so, young people, let us be appreciative of that tonight. But not only be appreciative of that, but let us be appreciative of the liberty that God has given us, right? In our soul, right? That's the most important. And when we can say that we are free, we can walk around and say, free, 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 I am from sin set free. That is something to rejoice about tonight. That is something to rejoice about tonight. That is true freedom. That is true freedom. And so tonight, we appreciate you. We appreciate you very, very much. But you know, God's desire is that we all walk in liberty. What? Being free from sin tonight. That's God's desire tonight. And if we can be walking in liberty, that means that we're free from the bondage of this world.